stooped over him and examined him. His pulse was feeble and intermittent, but his breathing grew longer, and there was a little shivering of his eyelids, which showed a thin white slit of ball beneath. "It has been touch and go with him," said I, "but he'll live now. Just open that window and hand me the water carafe." I undid his collar, poured the cold water over his face, and raised and sank his arms until he drew a long, natural breath. "It's only a question of time now," said I, as I turned away from him. Holmes stood by the table with his hands deep in his trousers pockets, and his chin upon his breast. "I suppose we ought to call the police in now," said he. "And yet I confess that I'd like to give them a complete case when they come." "It's a blessed mystery to me," cried Pycroft, scratching his head. "Whatever they wanted to bring me all the way up here for, and then..." Oh, that is clear enough," said Holmes impatiently. "It is this last sudden move. You understand the rest, then? I think that is fairly obvious. What do you say, Watson?"
I shrugged my shoulders. "I must confess that I am out of my depths," said I.
"Oh, surely, if you consider the events at first, they can only point to one conclusion."
"What do you make of them?"
"Well, the whole thing hinges upon two points. The first is the making of Pycroft write a declaration by which he entered the services of this preposterous company. Do you not see how very suggestive that is?"
"I'm afraid I missed the point."
"Well, why did they want him to do it? Not as a business matter, for these arrangements are usually verbal, and there was no earthly business reason why this should be an exception. Don't you see, my young friend, that they were very anxious to obtain a specimen of your handwriting, and had no other way of doing it?" "And why?" "Quite so. Why? When we answer that, we have made some progress with our little problem." "Why?" "There can be only one adequate reason. Someone wanted to learn to imitate your writing, and had to procure a specimen of it first. And now, if we pass on to the second point, we find that each throws light upon the other. That point is the request made by Pinner that you should not resign your place, but should leave the manager of this important business in the full expectation that a Mr. Hall Pycroft, whom he had never seen, was about to enter the office upon the Monday morning."
"My God!" cried our client. "What a blind beetle I have been!"
"Now, you see,